you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 179 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. And today my guest is Gary Zalarik. Gary is the principal behind a company called The Legal Assistant. He also is a partner in a law firm in New Jersey, as you'll hear. And The Legal Assistant is a software platform for attorneys that Gary and his folks built originally for their own benefit, for their own use. And they now have a widely dispersed and multifaceted platform that's available in the cloud or in a standalone environment. And it's really interesting because of all the folks we've talked about or talked with on this show regarding practice management software, Gary and his folks have been at it longer than any of them. I mean, really, they started way back when, as you'll hear, when the only hardware platform for them to develop on was on a Windows-based PC. And so the origins of this platform go way back. And it was built by lawyers, by attorneys, for their own practice. And now it's been refined and developed. And I think you're going to see, when we get in the discussion, there's a couple of really key points that separate The Legal Assistant from the other platforms in terms of the kinds of features that they offer and how they integrate with how a law firm actually works. So I'm very excited to learn more about The Legal Assistant, and I hope you join me as we listen to Gary Zalarik. Gary Zalarik, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hello.
Well, I'm delighted, Gary, that you could be with us today. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Well, my name is Gary Zalarik. I'm actually a partner in a law firm of Samaro and Zalarik in Garfield, New Jersey. I've been practicing since 1989. From 1989 to 1993, I worked in a high-profile, heavy-volume litigated law firm. Back in 89 to 93, we really had very limited software capabilities. Everything was manual. Basically, I went on my own in 1993 with the desire to make sure that we can automate this legal system. I had a vision in 93 and built that vision through 93 up until today. Now we have a case management software program that pretty much automates everything, including diaries, letters, tasks. We'll get into that. Yeah. My practice is in Garfield, New Jersey. I have 13 employees. We do personal injury. We do real estate. We do matrimonial and probably municipal court, and a little bit criminal. Software covers everything.
Well, that's interesting because, I mean, you are in one of those practice areas, or at least you started out in one of those practice areas, I think, which sometimes finds it difficult to shoehorn their practice into a case management system. And I'm thinking personal injury. Having been at one point a personal injury attorney myself, I never found that the case management tools were particularly well suited for that practice area.
And well, you're correct, Neil. The problem is that they give you a vanilla box and they give it to you and they say, okay, here, you manage it. No, we have different modules. So we have a personal injury module geared solely for the personal injury attorney. We also have different modules like the real estate module. We have the criminal law module. We have the family law module. These are modules that work under the same databanks and you just add them into your program. And the personal injury is geared solely for personal injury. Talks about medical insurance, PIP insurance, doctors, liability carriers, underinsurance carriers, limits. There's different templates, different programs. So if you subscribe to the personal injury practice module, you get the general module and the personal injury module geared solely for personal injury attorneys, and it's statewide.
Yeah, and I guess because you've modularized the practice area approach, then as a law firm changes and evolves, you can add those particularized modules to create a specific experience and a specific type of platform for your firm. I mean, I think of myself, I started off as a personal injury attorney, and then I added family law. So I took that vanilla box, which frankly I was very happy with at the time, and made it work for both practice areas. But in your paradigm, you'd have the general practice area underlying module and then have your personal injury module as well as your family law module.
That's correct. When we first started, we just geared toward a vanilla box type of product. And that's what gave the legal assistant or the software company the general practice type area. But as we were going forward and being an attorney myself, I said, you know, to have this suited, we have got to narrow down different modules for different practices. So this way, the firms that just concentrate on personal injury will be able to utilize the program for efficiency and eliminate duplication by many different employees, and different type of workflow. What we did was we made it much more efficient for the law firm and the users is what we did.
Well, it's interesting too. I kind of got these questions, out of order in a way, but I think that it speaks to the challenge that you had, because frankly, the practice management software space is pretty crowded these days for attorneys. So we've got all kinds of practice management software platforms, and you know, some of them are very, very big, and you know, the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And so I was going to ask you, you know, what in particular sets, by the way, I don't think we've actually named your practice management software. It's called the Legal Assistant.
That's correct. Address your question, Neil, we actually started to do this back in 1990. We were doing it from 1993 straight through 2006.
Well, that was going to be my next question too, because that predates a lot of the, you know, current players in the market. So you've been at it actually before they were.
We were. We brought something to the marketplace prior to anybody. The real history is that I had the program produced for my office only, and then I partnered up with VCs, and then we then took the program, rolled it out for everybody. That came about in around 2004 to 2007, mm-hmm. and we've been going strong since 2007. Other players have now come in to try to duplicate what we do, but we believe our workflow is much more easier to understand, much more fluent when it goes to a case. The person who just does personal injury will be able to pick this up in probably 2-3 days. The learning curve is very easy. There's a lot of reminders. There's a lot of ticklers that if you send a request out for medical records and you tag it, it will be reminded to you in 2 more weeks. We have an automatic notification system, meaning that when you set up events, they're all pre-programmed. You choose the events. And in the personal injury, if you have a trial going on in 30 days, the computer will know 30 days in advance, and it will give you all the letters and the ticklers and the reminders that must go out. So the head lead admin will be able to see each day and check off. And not only will the letters get automatically generated and sent to the client and sent to the doctors, but also you'll have ticklers on the lead attorney and the lead secretary, so they're aware that something's coming up. And it will also go on your calendar. So there's a lot of automation that's going on here that I do not believe anybody can touch.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think that the name of the platform, the Legal Assistant, is perfect for the paradigm that you've implemented, because it really, from what I can tell, it really does act as your you know, over-the-shoulder legal assistant who's making sure that all of those T's are crossed and all those I's are dotted. So, you know, I think that's really, you know, smart branding on your part to, not that you need my approval for that, but just anecdotally, I think it's smart branding on your part because the product name says exactly what it does. And oftentimes, you know, that's not the case. People try and get a little clever with that, but that's my soapbox. I'll get off that for a second. So let's go back a little bit here because I want to go rethink what the environment was like when you ventured out on this. You started to build this for yourself back in 89, between 89 and 93, when you were hard at it as a practicing litigating attorney. Back in those days, well, obviously we didn't have the cloud. That's one.
That's right.
And secondly, you know, the technology space was really dominated by the PC market, Windows-based PC market. So is that the environment that you started your development in?
We did. We actually, when I left in 1993, to give the long story short, when I left in 1993, my employer, I opened up my own firm. Many people came with me, and we started off with trying to get some type of database system that would work for us, because I'm not going to mention any other competitors, but back then there were certain companies that just gave you databank links. Yeah. And in 1993, when you were able to click on and just be able to get your client's phone number, that was wonderful. You know, you didn't have to go through the Rolodex. You didn't have to go through a list. You can just get it on the computer. We wanted much, much more than that. So we actually implemented a proprietary type software, and we modified that proprietary software with the president of the company. We hired them, we retained them, and with 3 years working with them, we customized this program to where we needed it to be. It was a window-based program. We found in like 2006, 2007, with Windows changing from 16-bit to 32-bit to 64-bit, we needed to get a complete different browser, a platform. So then we switched everything over, rewrote most of it in Java, and basically now we can have different platforms. So you can have a Windows computer while you're working on your iPad in court, and you could sync back and forth. If you're on the cloud, it's very easy. If you're not on the cloud, it's also very easy. You just VPN right on in. So now it doesn't matter if it's a Windows base or a iOS base, because we can handle anything at this point.
And, you know, we say that almost cavalierly these days, but I mean, you can attest to the challenges that journey created for you, for going from a proprietary-based, roll-your-own type of platform that, you know, look, Windows in the PC world in those days were actively promoting people to do exactly that, to build applications that ran in that environment. And to go from that to now, if you choose a cloud-based option that's platform agnostic, that's a big journey. And that's not, you know, it shouldn't be overlooked about the challenges, I think, that you had to deal with to transition.
Well, I'm just going to throw out a plug here, but we had a really good programmers teams. We had a gentleman by the name of Richard Tannenbaum, who headed up a group in England. We had a gentleman by Dave Brown, who headed up a group in Spain. These programmers worked day and night to get our program to where it is now. The rewrite was amazing. Part of the problem with the rewrite was a lot of our existing customers, hundreds of our existing customers, needed to stay on board while this program was getting rewritten. So We had to make sure that they were able to stay on board, even if their computers were upgraded to 64-bit. We had to do what it took to get it done until the new platform came out, and then switch them all over to the new platform. So it was a lot of work, dedication, but we did it.
Yeah, and you weren't doing it with, you know, guys learning how to program in their garage. I mean, you were doing it with some pretty heavy hitters, because you saw the market opportunity here. It's something of a visionary, I think. You'd be applauded for that as well. So now let's talk about where we are today. So the platform, the legal assistant, it can be cloud-based if you choose to implement it as such, or it can be remotely hosted. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
So you have both options available for those who maybe are squeamish about the cloud or for other reasons are prevented from or choose not to use the cloud. You can run it in a standalone environment. Cloud's pretty obvious, I think, to most people right now. Tell us a little bit about the standalone environment. I find that to be fascinating.
Well, we're in 2019 now, but go back 2 years, 3 years. Lawyers are very conservative, and they did not want to expose their data on the cloud. Now, when you have different companies, not promoting anybody, but different companies which are encrypted and guaranteed, many more law firms are used to the cloud now and trust the cloud much more than they did 3 years ago.
Sure.
We still have many people hosting their own data in-house on their servers, which is fine. It's just it's a little more of a setup. We can get a firm set up probably in 10 minutes if you're on the cloud. Literally, if you're on the, if you come to our sandbox, you play around, you click on, you get your demo, you play on your demo, and then you say you want to go forward. I can get your office 15 minutes, each user, not even, the first user 15 minutes, the second user 5 minutes. I can get your office up in no time. When we're talking about in-house getting you on your servers, we could do that as well. It's remote in onto your servers. We've got to load and download the program. But then once it's on, we're back to normal again. It's 5 minutes getting everybody, all the users on. The updates that come out probably monthly or the bug tweaks and everything else that comes out, you'll automatically get. You'll get a reminder. You'll click. It will download straight through. You'll have all the features that you do on the cloud. It's just you have to maintain your server. And that's where the time and the cost start accruing if you don't have a server already set up.
And your platform scales. It's not limited in size, right?
No. You could. I don't even want to say. I mean, you could go 500 users, 1,000 users. It's fine. Yeah. I mean, you're going to pay per seat, sure. And then there's a break per group. But it scales all the way.
But so for some, let's say, the definition is in the eye of the beholder, I suppose, that for some, that maybe medium or larger type practices, they have the resources, the IT support, and they may have a justification then for running it in a standalone mode. That's pretty straightforward for them. I think for our audience, most solo and small firm practitioners, unless there's a real aversion to, or as I said, a specific reason as to why they want to do it in-house, the cloud implementation seems to be the way to go. And you're right. 3 or 4 years ago, people were squeamish about the cloud. I always find it interesting that people that were squeamish about the cloud had no problem leaving their laptop on the table at Starbucks when they ran to the bathroom.
Exactly. Or logging in from anywhere. I mean, they would just log in, their laptop, have fun. They didn't realize that they were exposing everything right then and there.
Exactly.
Firewall set up.
Today, I'd like to introduce a new sponsor to The Law Entrepreneur, and that's the folks at Jurisdiction. You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150, that's like the Law Entrepreneur 150, for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur. All right, so now let's talk about a little of how the platform is structured. We know a lot of the features. You've talked about, you know, some of the features being that it has email integration and intelligent automation, and you know it's modularized for different practice areas. One of the things I noticed when I went through here is that you also do document management as a component of the platform. And tell our audience a little bit about what that means, because that doesn't always come within a practice management system.
Well, basically what we have is the users have the benefit of all the templates that are associated with the different modules. So given an example, let's stick with the personal injury module. They will be able to get per state letters that pertain to personal injury cases, as well as complaint templates, summonses, subpoenas, and different. Most of the states are pretty much similar, but there are different type of layouts for different type of states. And currently we try to, I don't want to sit here and say we're all the 50 states are covered, but many of them are. And how we work that is basically if somebody comes in from a state that we are not affiliated with, or maybe very limited users are affiliated with, we will partner up with them and make it work so they could give us the documents, and then we will tabulate all the tablets, the templates for them in the format that they would want. And then when the next user comes in from Alabama, then they would be able to get the templates that are all associated with the personal injury in the format that Alabama suggests as opposed to New Jersey suggests. So that was interesting as well, but that's a very, very good feature for us because the user comes on. I mean, let's go with something a little separate than personal injury, because personal injury is a little bit more knowledgeable. But if you wanted to do a real estate closing and you've never done one, or maybe you've witnessed one, or maybe you've sat through one, well, guess what? You can get the module, the real estate module, and you'll have every single letter, every single document that you will need to complete a real estate closing. You will not need to go out, call a firm, call a friend. Everything will be right there for you. So it's pretty powerful and confident. So this way you could go on to another part of practice, even though you're just doing personal injury, but then a real estate closing came in. If you didn't have any of these documents or templates or the ability to manage the file going from the intake straight to the closing, then at that point you would say, no, I'm sorry, we don't do real estate. Well, now you don't have to do that anymore.
I think that, again, when I talk about how do we differentiate legal assistant from some of the other practice management platforms out there, I think this is a real key discriminator, because it always intrigued me how in other types of implementations, how you had a practice management system, and then if you were a litigator, you had a litigation document generation requirement. You may not have something automated to do that, but you had to generate, you know, pleadings, a complaint, you know, a motion, a line, a precipice, as we call it in DC. And you have to go to a forms book, or you'd go to your CLE or a bar association and get an example of the form for your state or your county. And then you'd have to implement that on your own. And people used, you know, copy and paste and duplicating a Word file and changing the names. I never understood, and you have solved that problem. I've never understood why those two needs can't be integrated into one platform. And you've done exactly that.
I agree. You know, or you'd have to get two programs that didn't integrate with each other. Right. You still would have to cut and paste. Yeah. You still would have to, you know, not be able to utilize your database. I mean, if we have a database for everything, I mean, you have databases for clients, you have databases for courts, doctors, medical providers, judges, insurance companies, insurance adjusters, law firms, lawyers. All you need to do is to be able to integrate them databases into your case file. And then once you have your case file built, now you just click, click, click. It does the letters. If you have a client on one file, you just click the client little Q button and it'll show you all the other files that client's ever been with you on, whether it's open or closed. You can go right to that file, go to the attachments. I mean, we didn't get into all this stuff yet, but even in the attachments, you're able to search the databases from documents that you prepared or that were allocated in. We have an allocate. So when the mail comes in, it goes to an allocate directory and the allocator directs it to the certain file. It gets saved in PDF. But then before it gets saved in PDF, we actually generate a search PDF. So you could go into the program anywhere, go into the attachments and search the word dog bite. And any file, you produced a letter or a letter came in with dog bite, it will pick up instantaneously and associate it with that file so you can get that document if you needed it.
Yeah, I think that's a real discriminator. The other thing I thought was interesting is the platform does integrate, of course, with your email system and your task management system. Talk about that a little bit. When we say it's integrated, are we talking about it works with your existing email client or your existing task manager client, or are we talking about you have a built-in email client or task management client within the platform?
Both. Many people use their existing platform. For instance, just to throw names out there, if you're using Outlook, you use an Outlook as an API for your emails. If you're using Yahoo, you want to be on the Yahoo site. Well, we have the email center, and if you wish, you can use the email center, and then we will, when the email goes to your Outlook, it will also go to the program. It will be another API, and then when you read it, it will also close here or close there. So we are a one-stop shopping here. What you don't want to be doing is sitting on your iPad in court or on your phone in court and having to go ahead and then go check your emails somewhere else. You could check your emails right in the program. And then if you do want to do a letter on your iPad or your phone, you just go to the case file, click the case file, click the template, go ahead, go to the distribution center. From the distribution center on your case file, it lets you see all the emails that are associated to that specific case file, and then you just send it out. Now, you could do all that straight from the program. There's no cutting and pasting or anything like that. If you get an email sent to you in Yahoo and it contains an attachment, sure, you could take that attachment and you could bring it on over into the program. But why would you not just go into the email center of the program and that email that you saw on Yahoo would be right there? And then all you need to do is click and attach it right there to the case file, and it's one-stop shopping. So yeah. That email that came to your Outlook general account will now automatically get attached to that case file within the program.
I really appreciate that too, because I think too often we have a tendency to say, oh, well, the system provides this type of integration or that type of integration. And basically all it's really doing is passing the information back and forth between, you know, two different applications, which is better than it used to be, and it's you know, better than a sharp stick in the eye, as my mother would say. But to have it fully integrated within the platform itself, I think is really a discriminator that not everybody can claim.
Our email center is Mox Outlook.
Uh-huh.
We are not Outlook, but we mock Outlook. It's the same type of inbox, yep. Same type of sent drafts, same exactly everything.
So people feel comfortable.
Well.
Yeah. All right. Well, then let's talk about the other 600-pound gorilla in the room, and that is the billing module. Because You know, it's the bane of everybody's existence. Not so much for personal injury, because we know that frequently or almost exclusively is a contingency-based practice. But if you're doing something else, if you're billing on a flat fee or fixed fee or billing hourly, that billing module can really be the bane of your existence. Tell us a little bit about how that's addressed in Legal Assistant.
Sure. We have a billing control center, and just to step back a little bit, I think it's very important in a personal injury case too. Even though you're not billing, you still got to keep track of your cost and your time. So in the billing module...
Well, that just shows, Gary, that you're an experienced personal injury attorney, because I'll bet less than 10% of the PI attorneys actually do that, can actually tell you how efficient their settlements are with respect to their costs. But so good on you for recognizing that and addressing it.
The reason for that, Neil, is because in many other programs, it's a separate entry. Our program, every time you do something, it's tracking. So for instance, if you take a phone call, all you would do is go onto the case file. You need to refer to the case file anyway, because all the data is in your case file. You then would go to the billing track phone call and then just put the click, and it will automatically charge your rate. If a letter comes in, it would automatically charge a rate to review the letter. If the letter goes out, it will automatically charge a rate for those specific letters. So that is how the system works. Every single user has a rate, whether it's a secretary, whether it's an admin, whether it is a lawyer, whether it is a paralegal. You set up your structure once, and then that is their hourly rate. Now, every letter that is associated with going out or coming in or dictating, I didn't get into any of that, but you also have a default rate. So if you're doing a letter, for instance, and it's a letter to serve a complaint upon a defendant through the sheriff or through an individual service processor, there'll probably be a 30-minute default for that setup, the letter, summons, and then that will be billed accordingly. It will automatically go to that case file. And so anytime you're looking at the physical case file itself, you go to the billing tab, and you actually can see what's owed or what the costs are. And then basically it looks against the retainer, and it subtracts. And then at one point when the retainer gets to a number that you suggest, so if your retainers are below $300, then it will automatically call for a letter back to that client saying the retainer is reaching a letter of a sum that needs to be replenished. This is done all automatically in the system. And then you're billing on monthly or weekly or whatever. You just go right to the billing control. If you're in the billing control, you can see everything. You can see the file number, whose attorney it is, the case name, what type of matter it is. Is the status open? Is it billable? Yes or no? The last statement, the cost, the billing, the balances. You could then just click. And then when you process that, it will send a cover letter along with a detailed explanation of the billing to the client by email or hard copy right from the billing center itself.
Yeah, what I really like about this whole approach is that 90% of it, or maybe more, is captured automatically. So if you create an email message or create a document or send a letter within the platform, that those actions are connected to the legal matter and tracked and calculate it is just simply with the click of a button. So you don't have to, you're not getting in that situation where you're asking the attorney or the paralegal or the staff member to recreate what they just did. You know, and because that's, we all know that's how so much of the billable time slips through the cracks, because it's not being recorded automatically, or you don't provide the capability to do that. A lot of other folks will say, oh, well, we do that. All they have to remember to do is start the timer.
Yeah, we have timers too, but I agree. No one does that.
and that's the Achilles heel, because you're an hour into the project. Oh, man, I forgot to start the timer.
Yeah. The other thing is, a lot of people do double entry. There are many, many firms still out there. If they're capturing their time and not losing their time, they're actually writing it down on paper. And then they're submitting the paper to another processor, who then is putting it into a different program. The double entry or the triple entry is amazing to me, because the lack of efficiency and the loss of the billable time just to do that is crazy.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. Well, listen, Gary, this, I think this is really eye-opening. There are, as I said, a couple of different specific aspects of the platform that I think really set you apart from other practice management software platforms out there. I wish you the best of luck with this. Tell our audience, what's the best way to reach out to you or maybe take a peek at what Legal Assistant has to offer?
Well, we would start at coming to the website. The website is thelegalassistant.com. At the website, you can view videos, and then you can actually go into our sandbox. Our sandbox is a platform that we allow. It's public information. It gets reset every single night. You could just go in, start playing around. Templates are on there. Add some clients in, and then you can get a trial. Or you can get a one-on-one demo by just emailing me, G. Zalaric, my first initial, my last name, at thelegalassistant.com. And basically, we can set up a one-on-one with one of the staff or even myself, and we can step you through it.
All right.
We would like to show the clients or the potential clients how we differ. And when they see it, they'll pretty much understand what we're talking about.
Well, I think that's fantastic, and I hope our listeners take you up on that offer. So, Gary, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today and share your insights on the Law Entrepreneur.
Well, thank you, Neil. Thanks for having me.
Well, that will do it for today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors for making this show possible, the good folks at Call Ruby Receptionists, and our newest sponsor, Jurisdiction, the providers of the Next Level Law Practice Program. So take a moment to visit our show notes and hop on over to their websites for special discounts and savings and other free stuff that you can get, and just support them because they make this podcast possible day in and day out. Also, if you got a couple minutes, pop on over to our own website, thelawentrepreneur.com. We have a couple little articles there. You can also listen to the podcast itself there if you choose to. And sign up for our newsletter or our mailing list. And we don't do a lot. You know, you're not going to bombard you with emails every week. And I do plan on doing a few more this year. But we'd love to have you join our community. And in that sense, you can also go on to our Facebook page. You can find us just by searching on The Law Entrepreneur. You can find out what we got going on a daily basis, sometimes hourly, on the Facebook page. So I'd love to have you join us there. And if you have the time, last but not least, go on over to iTunes, search on The Law Entrepreneur. And if it's something that you believe in and feel strongly about, we'd love for you to leave an honest 5-star review, as well as comments about what you like and dislike about the show, because it does mean a lot to us that you are our community, our listeners, and I want to thank you for making this all possible. So we'll see you next time on The Law Entrepreneur.